آه يا ريما لغز المانا يلي عالسفر ناويه يلي عالسفر عما صلوا على محمد.
The voice there of Reem Kehlani. Although she grew up in Kuwait and now lives in London, she is Palestinian both in heart and culture. Inspired by both traditional Arabic music and jazz, Reem went back to her mother's town in the Galilee and the refugee camps in Lebanon, where she collected and recorded folk songs traditionally sung by old women. Her research into these Palestinian songs has now come together in an album called Sprinting Gazelle, and she joins me now. Welcome to Every Woman, Reem.
Thank you, Anna.
So that music we just heard is from the title track,
yes.
Sprinting Gazelle. A great title. I'm sure there's a story behind it. What's the story behind Sprinting Gazelle?
Well, Reem is Arabic for addax or a white antelope. And one of the songs that I recorded from the women in Ain al-Hilwa refugee camp, they just burst into song when they heard my name, and they came up with a song called Ah Ya Reem al-Ghuzlan, O Gazelle of All Gazelles. So I couldn't say that, so I just thought, ah, sprinting, sprinting gazelle.
There was one woman in particular who you met, and when she heard your name, that's what she...
Yeah, it was a huge laugh, of course, and there's a golden tooth and a huge breast that stretches from the chest all the way down to their belly button. It's what I call the big mama syndrome, and it's quite universal. It's not strictly Palestinian. And as soon as, you know, she asked my name, and I said Reem, and she said, Abi salatu ala nabi, and just started singing. Ah, ya Reem ala ghuzlan. And the rest is history.
Well, let's hear what happened when you met her and you said, my name's Reem. So there we are, a group of women all sitting around there. So when they sang that song to you, was that the first time you'd ever heard it?
Ever. And the lyrics are quite miserable. It's what some people call wrist slashing, because it's you know, some of the lyrics are, you know, when my loved one left me, I decided to cover my hair and I decided to dress in black and live in mourning, and I stopped myself from dancing because my sprinting gazelle left me. And I was just sat there watching them sing and dance to it. So when they finished, I asked, oh, when do you sing this song? Oh, why, of course, we sing it at weddings.
Why such a mournful song to be sang at a time of celebration?
Because instantly the penny dropped for me when I got the message from these women, which is the message that I now use in my life as a diaspora Palestinian, both personally, collectively and artistically, is that we're not victims. And you are not a victim. Even when you are in pain, even if someone has done you wrong, you get on with life, you acknowledge your pain and you're strong and you celebrate and you sing and you dance. This is resistance in its purest form.
Let me take you back. When did your love of Palestinian music began?
I was 13 years of age and I went to this village called Nain, which is where my maternal family comes from. And I sat in that wedding and I saw again more and more big mamas singing and dancing, celebrating. The bride used to come with a dress every 5 minutes. She changed 7 times to show off all her dresses that her husband bought her for her marital life. And then the men did their own dance. Then there was a mixed dance. And I just sat there and I thought, wow, if this is Palestinian music and culture, I came out internally as a Palestinian. And I felt there's no stronger sense of belonging than continuity and the collective, because the collective lasts hundreds of years.
You've taken that on into your life and what you wanted to do, but you've been back more recently to your mother's town in Galilee and the refugee camps, looking for the old singers, the women singers, and recording their songs. Why did you want to do that?
I didn't sit up one day and say, okay, this morning I'm going to a refugee camp. It just happened. And it was a mean of preservation. I didn't do it for a radio program or for a CD to go in the National Sound Archives, which now I aim to put some of this collection there. It just happened. It was a means of self-preservation. And I started visiting the camps, particularly in Lebanon, because the refugees in Lebanon are outside any peace treaty. They don't exist as far as any peace treaty is concerned. And the music is less reactionary and more into beauty and more intrinsic and more internal. It was asserting one's existence. We exist.
So you went because you wanted to find out something about your culture and your background, your roots. But you also, to some extent, wanted, it's a preservation project.
Absolutely.
You want to be able to keep these songs, to keep them and revive them before this older generation dies.
Which many of them are dropping off by the day.
You bring something very new to this, though, as well as keeping this music going. Your own music draws on two inspirations, both Arabic music and, of course, jazz. Is there something, is there a way that those two traditions meet?
I don't think they're different as far as I'm concerned. I always say, well, I'm a jazzer, I'm a jazz singer, I happen to be Palestinian. And being Palestinian, Arab and Muslim, although some Muslims disagree with a woman singer in the first place, gives an edge to the jazz element in me as a singer. Both disciplines are based on improvisation. Both disciplines come from suffering and from emancipation. So a jazz singer like Bessie Smith is not a victim. She's standing there on stage. She's a big mama looking you in the eye and saying, I'm here, I exist. So for me, it's very aesthetic, it's very musical, and it's very spiritual as well.
And you found no difficulty in melding the two together?
No, not at all. In fact, my main rhythm section on the CD, I chose to put my music into shape. And then I introduced the percussive elements and the traditional Arab-Palestinian instruments.
Well, it sounds like it's time to have an example of that. We're going to end our programme on a song called Galilean Lullaby, and it definitely reflects those two elements of your music, doesn't it? Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, the lyrics are not mine. The lyrics are old traditional verse, and I wrote the music to this song, which is a lullaby. And again, in the lullaby, the woman talks to the baby, oh, our loved ones have left us. We are on our own now. If I go to the village of my loved ones, the village is abandoned. And it goes on and on and on about abandonment, separation. However, ends with the mother telling the baby to tell the cameleer of the caravan, hardship never lasts on anyone forever.
Good optimistic note.
I think so.
So, well, we end with Galilean Lullaby, but before we send you off dreaming of the hills of Galilee, I'd like to thank Reem Kilani for joining us.
Thank you, Anna.
And from me, Anna Rumbima, and the Every Woman team here in London, it's goodbye.
أبوابنا شيالو من طلعة العيون راحوا ما ودعوا يا حسرتي مخلوق مرت صبحي أحيي شجر التوت من يقول ما لقيت تم اللطايف يبكي جمد الوجه أقدامي عشان